Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Scripture says, there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. This continues on in our day as a person's convictions determine what is right and what is wrong. Truth and morality are relegated to individual opinion. Very few people live solely by the word of God, but most, even many Christians, pick and choose the parts of Scripture that they find to be most helpful, while the rest is simply cast aside. They justify their actions by saying it simply applied to ancient Israel, or to the Corinthians, or to others, not to us in the 21st century. And so in their minds, if a person does something because he is sincere, then it must be good. The result of this? Religious indifference. They suppose that little or nothing depends on one's faith or on the word of God, as long as you are doing what you are able and being true to yourself. As long as they are devout and sincere, who are you to judge them, especially if they are helping out others? If they are just as good as you, and yet do not call themselves Christians, then what does it matter? And so in our day and age, in American society, we are left with a pantheon of gods and goddesses contrived by human minds, each one vying for men's hearts, each one believing that they are right and they alone. So we agree to disagree. Whatever makes you a loving, good, moral, sincere person is just fine. If that's Christianity for you, then fine. If it's Islam or nothing at all, then fine. Just be true to yourself. So many are put at ease when they have acted to their own convictions. Their conscience rests, and they feel justified before man and before God that they are good enough. They feel that their actions were good and right, their words good and right, their thoughts good and right. Not perfect, no one will say that, but good and right. And so, yes, they should enter heaven because their actions measured up to their own convictions. So now, admittance into heaven depends solely on a person's sincerity and his own convictions. Then when the Word of God comes and demands that they recognize their great sinful nature and calls them to repent, they wonder what great evil they have done. They were sincere and devout. They did what they were able to do. They can't do more than that. They tried their best. They were true to themselves. How can God demand them to do something more than they were able? How can God demand more from them? Again, many Christians fall into this error as well. So this is the reason Christ went back to the Father. Do you see how gently he speaks of his death? He's talking about his cross, and yet he simply says, I am going to the Father. I am going to him who sent me. He doesn't want them to focus on the heart-wrenching details of his crucifixion, but he wants them to be mindful of the tremendous gifts that he will win for them by departing from them. The Holy Spirit will come, the Counselor, the Paraclete, and he will bring the gifts of Christ to them. He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He will convict the world of sin because living by your own conscience and convictions is not good enough. Living in sincerity will not get you anywhere. Just because a person thinks something is good and right doesn't make that action good and right. For Scripture says, there is a way that seems right to man. It agrees with his convictions, his idea, his conscience. And yet that way ends in death. Our Lord also says, the one who did not know his master's will and yet did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. He will be punished. Ignorance is no excuse. Indifference, no excuse. Sincerity, it will not get you off the hook. The road to hell is paved with sincere zeal and convictions. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. True love and goodness do not consist by living according to your convictions, though. In fact, quite the opposite. There is a way that seems right to man. And when natural man lives according to his natural convictions and conscience, he ends only in one place, death. So man ruins himself and others when he lives by his natural reason. So God has sent his Spirit into the world to convict the world of sin, because men do not believe in Christ. Faith alone can produce what is pleasing in God's eyes. Faith alone does good works. Good works come from faith. So without faith, how can anyone do good works? But men are left in their own sins. Only the Spirit reveals that. Only the Holy Spirit can convince you of that truth. And fallen flesh, our fallen flesh will never believe it. It will never believe in Christ. It will never adhere to the Scriptures. It remains in unbelief throughout all its days. All wicked and ungodly things come from it. So it is unbelief that causes us to get angry, to fear, and to sorrow over grief. It is unbelief that makes you think the world revolves around you. It is unbelief that makes you a very difficult person to get along with. It's not their fault, usually it's our fault. And if it persists, if this unbelief crowds out faith, then no sacrifice for us is left. We are cast to wallow in our sins until that frightful day of God's judgment. So thanks be to God that he has sent his Spirit into the world to convict you of sin. Let the wicked forsake his evil way and the evil man his thoughts. You can't live according to your conscience and your natural reason. That way leads to death. So forsake them. Leave them behind. Have nothing to do with them. There's nothing worth saving. God must give you a new heart, a new conscience, a new will controlled by his Spirit and bound solely to his word. And then all good works will flow from that faith. This is what God has done for you in holy baptism. He has given you his Holy Spirit, who has brought the divine gifts of Christ to you. A new heart, forgiveness, washed clean, pure and holy. And yet the Spirit still comes to you this day to convict you of sin, lest you forget your need for Christ. He finds no joy in doing this, but he must. He must hold up your sins so that he might hold up this one who became sin for you in your place. He will not prescribe the remedy without first showing you your need. No man would know the depths of his own sin or sinful flesh if the Spirit did not reveal it. No man then also would know the depths of God's love if the Spirit did not reveal it. Sin is objective. There is black and white. Whether we see it or not, it is black and white. Sin is objective. So also God's love is objective. It's a baby whose holy conception and innocent birth sanctified our sinful conceptions and sinful births. It's found in a man living a holy and godly life in thought, word, and deed where we have wandered astray. It's found chiefly in that man lifted up on that tree to atone for our sinful self, actions, thoughts, and words. This is truth, this is reality, that God loves you and has made a full payment for all your sins. Regardless of who you are, where you come from, or what you have done, Christ has won forgiveness for you. If you are the greatest philanthropist history has ever known, or the greatest wicked man that history has ever known. God has paid for your sins. It does not matter or depend on you. It depends solely on what he has done for you. And that is firm. That forgiveness won is firm, that is truth, that will not change. He won for you holiness, righteousness, and innocence. It's foreign. It comes from outside of you. Because in your own heart, at one time, you also lived gratifying your sinful nature and following its evil lusts and desires. So God gives you of his Spirit, who carries the righteousness of Christ to you, so that you may stand before God joyfully and confident in your salvation. It's objective. It's true. Whether you feel like it or not, whether you see it or not, it is objective and true. Believe it. Either you are clothed with Christ or not. Either you are a saint or not. Either you believe or not. Either you are in the church or not. Either you are saved or not. It is black and it is white. Your sincere works play no part in this, but only the sincere works of Christ on your behalf. All you've done for this congregation or for others like us doesn't matter. Christ's sacrificial death is what covers you. You cannot doubt that water touched your head. You cannot doubt that bread and wine, that Christ's very body and blood touched your lips. So you cannot doubt that this righteousness is yours. You cannot doubt that he has clothed you with all that he is. Whether you feel it or not, you cannot doubt that you are saved through Christ and Christ alone. He has died for you, and the Spirit has come bringing Christ to you. This is why you gather this very day. The Holy Spirit comes bringing the gifts of Christ to you once more. Woe to the man who ignores this Spirit. Woe to the nation that rejects this truth. If they reject the truth by ignoring the word and the sacraments, for the Holy Spirit comes in no other way. And if they persist, God will give them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own sinful desires. He will let them go as far as their own convictions and conscience will allow them. Perhaps he has already done this in our day. So learn, pay attention. A little yeast leavens the entire lump. You can't follow your own desires and God's. You can't do it your way, as Sinatra sings, and do it God's way. There is only one way that is right, one way that is true, one way that leads to heaven, and that way is Christ. By God's grace, he is yours. By God's grace, you are in him. Whether you are 1 year old or 90 plus years old, you are clothed with Christ fully and completely. You lack absolutely nothing. Christ is yours. There is a way. So you are already judged holy by the eternal God who does not change. There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. But the way of God leads to eternal life for all who believe. So on this day, sing a new song to the Lord, for he indeed has done marvelous things. Sing of his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. There is nothing greater to sing about. Don't just talk about singing about it. Actually proclaim the wonders of God found in Christ. Sing of his holy baptism, his absolution, his holy supper. For in these ways the Spirit comes to you, bringing you the gifts of heaven. Sing to the Lamb who was slain and yet now lives and reigns, who sends his Holy Spirit to you, so that you too may have life and have it to the full. Alleluia, Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.